kinsman redeemer as a revenger. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35, we're looking here at verse 15, beginning in verse 15. And we're talking, Moses is talking about the cities of refuge here that are in the promised land that was the place where the Levites lived. And in verse number 15, it says, "These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay them." That's how they handed things there with the children of Israel. If someone did wrong to your family member, then the kinsman redeemer didn't call Brother Brian up and say, "Help." The kinsman redeemer picked up his club and he took care of business. That was part of the job of the kinsman redeemer, to be a revenger of his family, to mete out justice. And if somebody accidentally killed somebody, there were cities that they could flee to and be safe as long as they stayed in those cities, the cities of refuge. But if they left those cities until the high priest that was ruling at the time, until he died, if they left those cities, then the kinsman redeemer had every right to take vengeance on that person. That's the way justice was carried out amongst God's people in Numbers. We also see that the kinsman redeemer was to be a redeemer. In Leviticus chapter 25, we can read about the kinsman redeemer redeeming. Look at Leviticus 25, beginning with verse 47. It says, "And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant shall it be with him. And if there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for." We could continue to read, but I think you get the idea. The kinsman redeemer was also available to redeem with money. If someone went into debt and became an indentured servant, the family's kinsman redeemer could come to the rescue and he could pay the price and he could redeem them from their indebtedness and free them from their bond slave situation, from their slave situation. We also see that he was to be a restorer. In Numbers chapter 27, flip with me over to chapter 27 of the book of Numbers. And let's look at verses 1 through 11. And we see that this has to do with the family property and the family name. It says in Numbers chapter 27, verse 1, "Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahlah, Noah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar, the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, 'Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he hath no son.' give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then he shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if the father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family. And he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. We're familiar with this idea of a kinsman redeemer. In fact, the Pharisees, when they were trying to trip up the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, they said, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brethren shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. These were the responsibilities. These were the privileges of the kinsman redeemer of the family. And Boaz was that kinsman redeemer for Elimelech. Boaz was that kinsman redeemer for Mahlon and for Chilion. First of all, let's see. Let's capture his greatness. Let's see. A relative that was complete. A relative that was complete. Back to the book of Ruth. We'll read in the book of Ruth, beginning in chapter 2, in verse number 20. We read exactly what it says about Boaz. Ruth and Naomi came back to Bethlehem, and Ruth found some places where she could glean. The welfare system in Israel was that in your field, you gleaned all in a big circle, and you left your corners for the poor people. Anybody that was poor could go to the corner of any field and glean. That was their welfare system. They still had to work to eat, but they could go to any field and reap, and that's what Ruth did. And it just so happened that Ruth just so happened, just by chance, right? She found herself in the field of Boaz. In verse 20, it says, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord of the Lord. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. So first of all, we see Boaz had the right to redeem. Boaz had the right to redeem. He had the authority to redeem. He was the right person that could redeem Naomi and Ruth. He could purchase their property. He could marry Ruth. He could restore their family name among their titled properties. This was his right. This was his privilege. This was his responsibility. Boaz had the right to redeem. Letter B, Boaz also had the resolve to redeem. Ruth chapter 3. That's too bad we can't dig down and get a little bit more into this story, because it's a very romantic story. It's probably Nikki and I's favorite book in the Bible together. We love the story of Ruth. But in chapter 3, in verse 9, Ruth, by counsel of her mother-in-law, went and proposed to Boaz when everything played out. And this is what Boaz said to her in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. It says, and he said, who art thou? Remember, Naomi counseled her to lay at his feet. I know that sounds kind of weird. In the threshing fold, she was supposed to sneak in there and lay down at his feet. There was nothing weird going on. It was just a custom that they had, a culture that they had, and that's what was happening. And Boaz woke up in the middle of the night, and here's this beautiful woman laying at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. That was her way of saying, hey, I want you to redeem me and what is rightfully mine in Naomi. And verse number 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." So Boaz had the resolve to redeem. There's no doubt in my mind that Boaz noticed Ruth. And you know what I mean by that, right? When Boaz was in the field, being a bachelor the way he was like, "Ooh, wow, who is that woman?" Sometimes they say, "What, hubba hubba?" That's in the Hebrew, right? There's no doubt that he loved her. He saw her courage. He saw the resolve that she had. She left her people. She left her culture. She left her language. She left her relatives. And she chose the God of Israel. As a Moabite, she chose to leave her country. She chose to cling to Naomi and to take care of Naomi. She chose that. And there's no doubt that Boaz noticed her as a woman of courage. He loved her courage. He also loved her character. You know, as a beautiful woman, she could have went and flirted with any of the sort there in Israel. And she probably could have found attention. But she didn't. Instead of being a frivolous woman, she was a virtuous woman. And she served her mother-in-law. She went out during the early morning hours and she worked till the dusk, till the setting of the sun. And she brought home food so that her mother-in-law and her could eat. She was industrious. She was virtuous. Perhaps maybe Solomon had Ruth in his mind when he wrote some of Proverbs 31. Ruth was virtuous, and Boaz noticed that, and he saw her character. And as we mentioned, since it starts with a C, he also loved her comeliness. She was a pretty woman. He loved her. And you know what? There was no problem with his resolve. He purposed in his heart to do exactly that. So he had the right. Boaz had the right to redeem. Boaz had the resolve to redeem. Boaz also had the riches to redeem. Look at verse number 1. We've already read it in Ruth chapter 2. The Holy Spirit of God describes it quite well. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth." This guy had some bucks. He could do it. He could redeem with no problem. In fact, we get the picture if you go over to Ruth chapter 4 and look at verse 9. We see that Boaz did exactly that. It says, "And Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilian's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." Boaz, he was a complete kinsman redeemer. He had the right to redeem. It was within his authority, his power to redeem. He was resolved to redeem. He liked Ruth. He loved Ruth. He wanted Ruth to be his wife. She had made this opportunity available, and he had the resolve to follow through. He also had the bucks. He had the riches. He could do it. It'd be a sorry redeemer if you have all the resolve and the right, but you have no money. But Boaz had the money as well. He could do it. He was a very well-to-do farmer, and he could do it. We see a relative that was complete. Number 2, to get a better picture, when you draw, sometimes you need some contrast. And we want to contrast his greatness. There was a relative that was closer. Back in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, he's speaking to Ruth now. She's still on the threshing floor there at his feet. He says, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Well, he had the right, but there was someone that had more right to Ruth as a kinsman than he himself. There was a relative that was closer. There was a relative that was closer. So Boaz, with his resolve, he had to get this matter cleared up. If this nearer kinsman were to take advantage of his opportunity, then he had more right to redeem as a kinsman redeemer. So Boaz went to this relative, be it a cousin or a nephew or whatever he might be. Boaz went to him, and we see what he says. In verse number 1 of chapter 4, it says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down, kind of like a city council. And he sat, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Can you imagine how Boaz's heart must have sank when he heard those words? Oh man, it ain't gonna work out. And then it popped in Boaz's mind. In verse 5 it says, then said Boaz, but wait a minute, brother. What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to rise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. There was a relative that was closer, but this relative was calculating. This relative was calculating. As an opportunist, he was ready and willing to purchase the property. Well, sure, that's a great investment. I've been kind of eyeing that property for a long time. There's lots I could do over there. But when Boaz mentioned the Moabitess, well now, that was a different story. He was willing to redeem the property of Ruth, but he was unwilling to redeem the person of Ruth. Perhaps he was afraid that it would mar his property. Maybe it would cause confusion for his children. It would mar his property. He was afraid that it would mar his progeny, his offspring. A Moabitess. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Keep your finger here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 23. I think I put verse 2 there. We can read 2 and 3. It gives a little bit more color, literally. But verse 3 is really what I want. Deuteronomy chapter 23, it says this, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. 10 generations. A Moabite, because of what they did to the people of Israel. An Ammonite, because of what they did to the people of Israel, God put a curse on them. And they were not allowed to be a part of God's people. They were not allowed to go to the tabernacle and worship God. They were not allowed to join themselves to Israel. Up to the 10th generation, they were cursed. Not too long ago, I decided to do some digging, and I took the Yingling name. I went on one of those genealogical sites, and I went all the way back to 1650. And I finally found the Yinglings in Germany. Jungling. 1650 is a long time ago. But even then, I had not been 10 generations. Ruth had no chance to be a part of God's people. Ruth was accursed. There was some prejudice, you could say, here with the other relative. He didn't want this foreigner, he didn't want this Moabitess to be a part of his pedigree. No way. He was afraid it would mar. He was unwilling. So, be glad you're far away. He took off his shoe. It was a sign. Some people believe it was connected to the curse of spitting in the shoe. But by then, even if it was deteriorated to the point to where it was just a simple custom. He took off his shoe and he said, "You can have it. It's yours." There was a relative that was closer. But he didn't want anything to do with it. Now, to complete this sketch of greatness, to complete this picture that we're drawing here this evening, let's connect his greatness. There is a relative that is Christ. There is a relative that is Christ. Jesus can be our kinsman redeemer because he is worthy. Look with me in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I have all these verses tabbed, but I just have to pull the right tab. Galatians chapter 4. And look at verses 4 and 5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord Jesus Christ became a man, and he was worthy as a man in that he was sinless. He was perfect. He was worthy to be our kinsman redeemer. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." Jesus Christ is worthy. One more. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Maybe some of you have this verse memorized. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Jesus Christ can be our kinsman redeemer because he is worthy. Dr. John Phillips, he's more than likely my favorite Bible expositor, Bible commentator. He wrote this. I shared this with the young people last week, but it was good enough to use again, so I did. It says, "Not everyone could redeem. It had to be a kinsman. and a near kinsman at that. Here we touch on the foundation truth of the gospel. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, entered the human family so that we might enter the heavenly family. He became near of kin to Adam's race so that he might have the right to redeem. He became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Great is the mystery, wrote Paul. God was manifest in the flesh. The heart of the gospel lies in this magnificent truth. The man is near of kin unto us. Jesus can be our kinsman redeemer because he is worthy. But letter B, Jesus can be our kinsman redeemer because he was willing. He was willing. Look at Matthew chapter 26 with me. Matthew chapter 26. And look at beginning at verse 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He was willing. But as thou wilt. We keep reading in this passage, and verse 39, it says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, and if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he come unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time the same words. 3 times he said, this is going to be hard, but I'm willing. I'm willing. John chapter 15 and verse 13. It says this in John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus can be our kinsman redeemer because he is worthy. Jesus can be our kinsman redeemer because he is willing. Look at Ephesians lastly, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jump down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He was worthy. He was willing. But Jesus can also be our kinsman redeemer because he is wealthy. Because he is wealthy. Look with me at Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Beginning in verse number 10. The psalmist goes on and he says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ is wealthy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I know we're turning to a lot of scriptures, but I think they give us the picture that we're looking at tonight in great detail. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Boaz is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. It says this in Ephesians 3, 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you see how Boaz connects to the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ was worthy. Boaz was worthy to be a kinsman redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to be my redeemer and your redeemer. Just as Boaz was willing to take Ruth, the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to suffer and bleed and die so that he could take you and me. He is wealthy. The saying is, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no comprehension to the unsearchable riches that he has. He is our kinsman redeemer. I want to wrap up with this conclusion. Boaz was remembered on a pillar. I didn't know this until I studied this. For some reason, if I read it, I forgot about it. You don't have to turn there, but it says in 2 Chronicles 3:17, Solomon was working on the temple, and he reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and called the name of that on the right hand, Jachin, and the name of that on the left, Boaz. Boaz, they named one of the pillars on the left, I guess. They named it Boaz. The pillar means strength. I wouldn't be afraid to stand by that pillar. Boaz. But more importantly than that, more importantly than being remembered on a pillar, Boaz is remembered through a person. Let's go back to Ruth, the book of Ruth, and look at chapter 4 and start reading in verse number 13. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Boaz pictures the grace of God. He loved a poor, alienated, cursed Moabite woman. He purchased her. He embraced her and placed her in the very line of Christ. He points us to the heavenly Boaz who loved us, redeemed us by his death on the cross, and now embraces us with his Holy Spirit, placing us into the family of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, because of our kinsman redeemer, because of our Boaz. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and the Lord Jesus Christ just jumps off the page of the book of Ruth. Thank you, Father, for our kinsman redeemer. Thank you that he's worthy. Thank you that he was willing. and thank you that he was wealthy, wealthy enough to purchase my redemption and all of that sit here who have put their faith in you. I pray, Father, if there's someone in here, someone like Oprah. Oprah missed out. She could have been redeemed too. I pray if there's someone in here like Oprah that today would be the day where they cling to you in faith and allow their kinsman redeemer to purchase them with the salvation that has been bought on Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.